I will bow down before you, Lord, for you are God, supreme, sovereign in every way. Lord, it's right that we, creatures, made in your image, yes, Lord, but creatures all the same, Lord, should bow down before you. For you alone are worthy. You alone deserve the honor and the glory, Lord. You've created all things, and Lord, even more amazingly, redeemed us back to yourself after we'd fallen so far away. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word that you've given to us, Lord. That word that instructs us, that helps us and puts us on the right path, that changes the way we think. Lord, enables us to see more clearly. Lord, thank you. Your word is a light to our path and a guide for our feet. And I pray, Lord, as we come to look at it now, you'll bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. There we are, Tale of Two Women. You probably know about them already. It's part of our journey through Genesis, but a few weeks ago when I was reading through and just preparing, just this message today really came to my heart about Leah, because one of the things that stands out, as I mentioned last week, in the Old Testament is how badly the women were treated in so many ways. And we see two examples of this in these two ladies this morning. But it's not just, everybody gets hard knocks occasionally, don't we?
Yeah.
It's how you react to them that's the important thing and makes all the difference. And there's two major differences between these two women. Michal and Leah. Michal and Leah. One finishes up with what we call a root of bitterness. She lets everything turn sour on her. And I'm not here to blame her. If I were in her boat, I would probably be the same, to be honest. But God can intervene if you let him. She didn't. That's a sad thing. With Leah, she did let God intervene, and it made quite a difference for her at this point in time. So in Hebrews we're told, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. The problem with bitterness is it doesn't stay with you. And it can be quite infective. Is that the word? Infective? Infectious. Infectious, thank you, yes. Effectively infectious. Yeah. Right next to please, yeah. Right, so we're going to look at Michal first. And it starts off rather interestingly and nice. Now Saul's younger daughter Michal was in love with David. And when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. David had appeared on the scene. He'd slain Goliath. He was a celebrity. And Michal, the king's daughter, took a shine to him. She loved him, it says, and I've no doubt she did. She was taken in by his good looks. He was a good-looking man. His persona, quite a character, and his achievements. So everything going for him, wasn't it? Yeah. He didn't have much money, but you never know. You know, things could work out all right. So she took a shine to David, and the sad thing is Saul was pleased. And he wasn't pleased for the right reasons. Saul was jealous of David, and so he saw Michal's love for David as an opportunity to lay a trap to get David killed. That's what was going on at the back of that. Michal wasn't aware of that at the time, of course, but she's taking a shine to David. She fell in love with him. Right, okay. Then Saul gave him his daughter Michal in marriage, and Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David. Saul had set a trap. He wanted 100 Philistines killed and proof of it to be brought back to him, and David did that. Saul thought he had got David killed in the process, but it didn't happen. And so David comes and claims his wife, because he's bought her in that sense with this great act of heroism. And so he has to let him marry Michal. So Michal marries him, and when Saul realizes that, he's worried, but also he's concerned that Michal is falling in love with David. And so what Saul's worry is that the royal line is going to go out of his family to David's. Well, it was never promised to his family, it was promised to him, that was all. It's strange, isn't it? This is one of the sad things about people in power. Once they get in power, they want to stay there. For some crazy reason, I have no idea why. It never ends well when you think that way. But that's all. And Michal fell in love with David and married him. And I'm sure they got off to a nice start. Okay, next one please. Yep. Saul sent men to David's house. This is sometimes later. Saul sent men to David's house to watch it and to kill him in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, warned him, "If you don't run for your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be killed." So Michal let David down through a window, and he fled and escaped. So she's being protective, isn't she? She's looking after David. Her dad had one of his usual nasty turns and decided he would have David killed. He sent a bunch of people to get him. But Michal had found out somehow. Isn't that interesting how God works, eh? Yeah, just gets the news through in time. So Michal warns David, and David does a runner. He has to escape for his life. And so she protected him at that moment. Good, next one please. But Saul gave his daughter Michal, David's wife, to Paltiel, son of Laish, who was from Galilee. So he took the wife and then remarried her off to a guy called, what his name is? Paltiel, son of Laish. And apparently, I mean, if you read the story, Paltiel was very fond of Michal, and they seemed to get on very well. But that was Saul messing things up, wasn't it? Don't these fathers got a lot of responsibility what they do with their kids, you know? He marries her off to somebody else. Okay, so that looks like the end of the story, doesn't it? No. Next, please. As time went on, David and his men became more powerful, and Judah recognized him as king, and then there was a civil war between the south and the north, and eventually David became stronger, and the north became weaker, under one of Saul's sons. And so the time came when a treaty was to be made that the south would recognize David as king, and the north would recognize David as king over the north as well. But there's a treaty going on between the generals, and David is there, and he says to him, "Good," said David, "I will make an agreement with you, but I demand one thing of you. Do not come into my presence unless you bring Michal, daughter of Saul, when you come to see me." Then David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, son of Saul, demanding, "Give me my wife Michal." So David, now he's going to be king, says, "I want my wife back." Why did he want his... He's got wives already, by the way. Yeah? He's not short of wives, even now. Why did he want his wife back? He says, "What do I want?" What's he want?
His family.
Sorry?
He wants his family.
He doesn't want the family. He wants her back. She's a royal member of the other royal dynasty. You see? And if someone marries her, they may have kids, and they'll make claims to the throne in the future. I think that's what's going through his head. Does he want Michal because he loves Michal?
No.
All she is, this, brothers and sisters, this is politics. Politics with people, that's the problem. And Michal's just a pawn in the political system. She can't be his, she's mine, and she's coming back. Yeah? That's, how do you think Michal felt about that? Because they, her and Paltiel, they got on nicely, you know.
Yeah.
Not very happy, but what choice has she got? No. They mess you up, these blokes, don't they? They're not in charge, it seems, anyway.
Sorry, lady.
Sorry, lady. Good, yeah. I don't think David's acting very nicely here. I may be wrongly criticising him, and he'll tell me off when I see him, if I am. But that's not good. I don't think so. It's all it is politics. Mm-hmm. All it is, yeah. Right, next slide please, yeah? So, David's got Michal back, and he sticks her in the corner somewhere. That's about it, I think. She's not too fond of him by now, and he just ignores her, I suspect, yeah? Anyway, as the Ark of the Lord was entering the city, there was some time later, David wanted to bring the Ark of the Lord to the city of David, to Jerusalem. And after a false start, they got it working right, because they did it God's way, second time round. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. What made her do that?
Didn't like him.
She didn't like him. She became bitter. I'm not here to judge her in that sense. Yeah? But it's not good. She despised him in her heart. She, one who loved now hates him. Yeah. And, the way she's been treated, you can understand, can't you? I'm not excusing it, but you can understand it. Yeah. So she sees David dancing around, despised him in her heart. Wrong place to despise, you know. Oh dear. Now, next one, please. Yeah? When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants, and as any vulgar fellow would." So that's a nice homecoming, isn't it? Yeah, just warn you on that one, brothers and sisters. The Lord blesses you, and you go home. Now, I said it's necessarily home, but the devil's got a bucket of water waiting for you somewhere. Yeah, he's trying to dampen your enthusiasm. Well, David comes home full of joy, comes to the door, and there she is with a rolling pin, ready to meet him. Yeah, gives him a verbal, and David says, how does he reply? And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. Well, that's having a go back in a way, isn't it? Yeah, saying, you know, it was me that God picked, not your lot. But, he says, I was worshipping the Lord. And David wasn't embarrassed to be a little out of the ordinary. Yeah, are we embarrassed? You know, we're Brits, aren't we? Most of us Brits, yeah? Yeah? Well, we don't do it that way, do we? Well, we should, you know. Maybe a bit more, anyway. Loosen up, folks. As you get older, you can afford to loosen up a bit, yeah? Right, yeah? Okay, there we are, then. So, last bit of the well, almost the last bit of the story. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. I'm interested, I don't know if she was barren to start with, but she didn't have any children with David first son, and I'm sure they made love when they were first married, yeah? And when she married, when was married off to Paltiel, I'm sure they were happily married in one sense, no children. And now that she's come back to David, no children. That's sad, that's really sad, but what's the significance of no children for them? It's considered as a great shame to the woman in those days, yeah? But there's a spiritual meaning. She was barren, fruitless. Her life was empty. What had starved it was the bitterness. Yeah. Yeah? She became bitter about how she'd been treated, and as a result, became a barren person. It's not good. Have you met people like that who hold grudges for years? It eats away what you are. So, perhaps the Lord wants you to think about, are there things lurking in your past that you're holding bitterness about, you know? Well, God wants you to ditch them because you can be barren as a result of it. Yeah. Okay, then let's move on. There she is, poor soul. Right. Now, Laban had two daughters. We saw this in that previous passage in Genesis 29. Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. So Leah is not top of the list, is she? Weak eyes, we said, possibly blue eyes, possibly short-sighted, something, whatever it was. She wasn't as beautiful as her sister. Yeah? And what happens to Leah? Well, we'll see, you know. She was married to Laban, that's her dad. Married to Jacob, wasn't she? Yeah? That was a bit of a con job, wasn't it, really? Anyway, she marries Jacob, and what happens now, let's have a look, yeah? When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Now, there's something in the family of Rachel and of Jacob's family that they find it difficult in having children, but Leah is the exception. Just be encouraged, ladies. When you're ugly, you may still be able to have kids. That's a good one, isn't it? No, that's totally irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. Yeah, see, my wife's frowning now again, you see. Yeah. Anyway, Rachel can't have kids at the moment, yeah? But he says, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive. So he gave her a blessing in the midst of her sadness. Yeah? Because, why? I believe she's open to the Lord. That's the thing, yeah? She's open to the Lord, and in the middle of her sadness, the Lord blessed her with a son. We'll see you next. Next slide, please. Yeah? Yeah. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now. That's sad, isn't it, really? Yeah? But you know what Reuben means?
It's a boy.
It's a son. Yeah, but I'm just mild translation, modification. It's a boy. Room means look, and Ben means son. Look, a son, it's a boy! That's what she's saying. Good, eh? Surely my husband will love me now. I've given him a son. Yeah? Right. What's she trying to do?
Buy
affection. Yeah. Doesn't work. Yeah, but people try, don't we? We try, yeah. Okay, next one, please, yeah? She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, because the Lord heard that I'm not loved, he gave me this one too. So she named him Simeon. You know what Simeon means? Heard. That's what it is. It's a play on the name again, right? So she called him Heard, right? Because God's heard my prayer. That's what she's saying. God heard that I'm not loved. Oh dear, poor thing, yeah? Now then, again she conceived, you like this one, again she conceived, my Jean didn't want me to put this picture in, but I insisted. Yeah. Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. And so she named him Levi. And Levi means? Attached. Yes. Good, isn't it? Yeah. The names are significant, you see. Often in the Bible, the names are significant. So here he is. That's what she hopes. Yes. Yeah. That's what she hopes. Right. We'll find in the next chapter he's really led poor lad. Yeah, never mind. Anyway, next one please. It didn't work, did it? She can't buy his affection because he loves Rachel more than her. Which is sad. It's really sad. So it didn't work. So what does she do next? What would you do when you've been disappointed and disappointed and disappointed? And the Lord's blessed you with these three kids. I'm sure she loved them. She enjoyed having her little boy. Yeah? Right, what do you do?
Take the keys back.
No, no. She's no choice. Hey, remember, these are women in a society where they ain't got a lot of choice. The guys throw their weight around, it would seem. And so the ladies haven't got much choice, as it seems, anyway. What would you do?
She concentrated looking on an hour of kids.
She come, well, more than that. She did more than concentrate looking after the kids. That's good.
You had can more.
Sorry?
Had more.
She had more. Yes. But she got more focused on God. Mm-hmm. That's what she did. So next one. Right. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. Temporarily, as we'll see. But yeah. She said, this time. Yeah. Notice Jacob doesn't get a mention in this one. Her eyes are off her problem onto the answer, the Lord. Yeah? And she says, this time I will praise the Lord. And so she calls this little fella, praise. That's what Judah means. Praise. Yeah? I'll praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Mm. She's come through in a way, hasn't she? Mm. Right, next one please. There's more to this than meets the eye, of course. These accounts of the family are more than just a family story, because it's in the plan. But when the set time had come, fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. Now then, you know that it's all to do with the coming of Jesus, isn't it? Mm. Yes, he's in the plan. Jesus is in the plan, God's plan. And this is the family that God's going to use to build the people of Israel. Yeah? She has half the tribe of Israel, you know. Yeah? Leah has one boy who's going to be the direct ancestor of King David and of Jesus. Mm. And his name is?
Judah.
Isn't that interesting? Mm. Yeah? So the Lord gave her some of the joy about how he was fulfilling his plans into her heart when she had Judah. And so here we find that she's discovered how to cope with this. So we've got this back here then. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. She's still got things to forgive, things to sort out, but she's learned something that Michal never did. Yeah. She's learned how to thank God in the middle of the trials that she was in. So last one, yeah. Being thankful lets the light in. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Does?
Yes.
And that's not, I mean, I'm not talking about being plastic, you know, when you get knocked over and you say, praise the Lord for a car. No, you don't. You don't do that sort of thing, yeah? Well, if you do, I think you're crazy. But, yeah? But we thank God. Because it's still true, but this isn't something you should plant on somebody who's just had some serious, serious setbacks. You know, there's a lovely verse in Romans, in all things, no, in Romans chapter 8 I believe it is, in all things God works together for good for those who love him, or love the Lord, yeah? Or the old version, in all things God works together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Yeah? That's true, but it takes grace to see it. And so when someone's pretty down, you know, they'll come to acknowledge that if they know the Lord. Yeah, but it's not easy to get there straight away. But the being thankful, that's the right thing. What can you thank God for? Yeah. Plenty of things, yeah. And how did Leah let the light in? She turned her focus off the problem onto the Lord, and she was thankful to God for what he'd given her. But I've also got a thought that's not mentioned there, but she did what Leah didn't do. Leah held on to the grievances. Michal, yes. She did what Michal didn't do. She let go of the grievances. You know, you have to forgive. You have to let go. Because if you don't, it'll eat away. I remember, I've said this sometimes before, I was speaking at a meeting out in the Fens, it was a ladies' meeting, and there was a lady there, and I'd spoken about forgiveness. And at the end of the meeting, she turned to me and she says, you know, I'll never forgive him for what he did to me, whoever he was she was talking about. You know. I'll never forgive him for what he did to me. And you could feel the bitterness in her voice. Mm. Now, she didn't look happy. I mean, who are you hurting when you're hating somebody? She's self. Leah had learned to let it go by the grace of God. And so she came to the place, now, this time, I'll praise the Lord. Yes? How's your Judah coming along? Yeah? Have you got a Judah? Have you given birth to a Judah? This time, I'll praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, he's heard you. Yeah. You might not be attached to whoever it was you wanted to be attached to, but stay attached to Jesus. You can't go wrong there. I think that's it. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, and something else. Don't worry. Oh yeah, being watchful and thankful. Oh, we should have remembered that, shouldn't we? Yeah, being watchful and thankful. From Colossians. Paul says that. Yes? Devote yourselves to prayer, because there are things we need to pray about. They're not always easy. Yeah? Be watchful, because we've got an enemy who tries to mess your life up. Yeah? He's got the cold water coming if you're not careful. Yeah? But be thankful. It lets the light in. Praise the Lord. Let's pray, shall we? Father, you know us. You know everything about us. All our lives, experiences. Lord, and where people have hurt us, and perhaps we've hurt others deliberately or unintentionally, Lord, forgive us for that. Lord, we pray we may not be ones that hold grudges, Lord, that remember the bad things and somehow let that all swamp out the good stuff that we've experienced. Help us to forgive, Lord, because you said you've forgiven us so much we should and should, really should, forgive others. Help us, Lord, in that. Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy to us. Lord, as we thought of last week, if you kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is mercy, there is forgiveness. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that Leah found a way through the sorrows, the disappointments, and frustrations, Lord. Lord, it's sad to see how Michal fared, Lord. Lord, we know that it's so easy, Lord, to let things take a hold in our lives. Forgive us and help us to be wiser. Oh Lord, thank you for your grace to us. Help us to trust you. Lord, have a Judah born in us, Lord. Now, this time, I will praise the Lord. Lord, we can go through the same experiences and at last we get it. Lord, we can thank you for your goodness and mercy to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.